I think sometimes when we're building those connections and those relationships, we have to remember that people are more than just who you see right in front of you. All of us have untold stories and experiences, mm-hmm. and we all have people who play a role into the person you see in front of you. And so what I have found great success in is not only celebrating to that person why you are grateful for them or the gifts they bring or how they make things better, but also celebrating it to their loved one. Right. And that's a super, like, if you need a mood uplifter as an administrator, like, this is the ultimate, like, calling a student to celebrate them is great. Like, those positive phone calls home, we hear about them all the time.
Right.
They're amazing. They're great little mood boosters. But calling an adult's loved one to tell them, hey, like, your kid works in my school, and they are freaking amazing, and they do this, this, and this. And then not ever telling the adult that you're calling their loved one.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will randomly stop you later and be like, oh my God, like, my mom called me and told me you gave her a call and tell her. Like, it's so cup filling. Like, those are the ones that I'm like, yes, we are in the people business. And that's when I get refueled to say, okay, all this other noise that's constantly coming at me, I can face it. Like, I can do this because I saw that change. I saw that light bulb. I saw that person. Just like what any of you listening that were in the classroom at some point, you saw a light bulb go off in a kid. You finally connected or broke through that shell and you remember what it feels like. It's powerful. Like, that's what speaks to a teacher's real teacher heart. But when you're an administrator, breaking through to those adults, it's a whole nother level of exciting and fire building.
It is. So you're making me think. I did something similar building on that, Todd, when I was principal out at the, you know, I said the baseball field was my 4 years of high school. I was out there a lot. I also did something tagging onto that. I did postcards. So I would have a stack of postcards. I had our school, I don't know, there was a print shop near that was, everyone can find one, super inexpensive.
Yeah.
Because old school snail mail, I'm telling you, they love it. And so I would handwrite a little thing, just had my my staff roster, you know, because it is like your class. And I would, by the end of the year, I wanted to have every single staff member get a postcard. And even the most hard to love teachers, because just like the students in your classroom, you have them and you have to find that one thing, but the impact that where they would have that, they would bring them to school from home and they would have them on their little, you know, board right by their computer. And so just those little things do make a big difference.
I mean, and you know, and with you sharing that, research does show that the handwritten word is consumed by the brain differently than any other form of communication. So I love that you shared that example because you're exactly right. Like, the phone calls are great. In-person conversation is great. But there's something else about getting a note in the mail or that sticky note on your desk or your door. Like, those handwritten things, your brain consumes totally differently. And I think that I love that you brought that up too.
Okay, a little funny part here. Depending on the year that your teachers graduated high school, guys, some of them don't know how to read cursive. I hate to even say that, but my 22-year-old son, he would die if he knew I was saying this. He is in college, and he was in that era where they didn't learn cursive. Cursive was not taught in elementary. I don't know how I got off on that, but so just the whole positive culture. You and I are so aligned in that part because that is the most important thing that a principal can do. That is the most important thing. The one thing that you can do to really move the needle in all areas of learning. So,
well, you know, and I want to share another idea real quick that I did with my staff as you were saying this, it reminded me. So I wanted everybody to understand that like we all fit together just right to make what we need to make for the kids. And so I had bought this puzzle with just enough pieces that every single staff member got a piece. I painted it in like this black paint. So it would all be like one piece. And then on the back of each puzzle piece, I wrote a word that made me think of that staff member. Obviously, all positive words, not any negative.
Yeah.
But then when the staff came in for our faculty meeting, I gave each one of them a puzzle piece. And like, I had to hand pass them out because I wanted to be like, this is the word that I selected for you, that when you cross my mind, like, this is something that crosses my mind.
Aww.
And again, I thought like, oh, this is silly. This is, but it's a cute little a visualization of when we all fit together, if there's a missing puzzle piece, it's glaringly obvious. And we all have different curves and pieces that make each other fit together just right, which is why when we come together, we make a complete picture. And so I did the whole thing. And then afterwards, I will never forget, you mentioned somebody having a note card that you had written on their desk or whatever. One of the teachers who was one of my more difficult connections that I had came to me and said, I think this is the best thing you've ever done. And I'd been there like 3 or 4 years by this time. And I was like, oh my God, like I'm finally getting through to this person. Like, I'm like, wow. Good, great. Like, why is this? Like, why are you so connected? And she said, because, you know, we've been here together a few years now. She said, and this word you selected for me is a word that I would have used to define myself, but I wouldn't have expected you to use to define me. And the fact that you see me the way I see me means that you really are putting in the work. And it was like, that was like such a huge thing to me to be like that simple word of me going, okay, I have to find something positive about every single person. This one's a little difficult, but I know that she is this. And that it connected with her so deeply because she felt like I really, really did see her. And I really put in the effort instead of just picking random words and passing them out. That will always stick with me as making such an impact.
That is very powerful, Todd, because that individual really knew that you knew her or him, right? I mean, that they, just how powerful for someone. And I always feel like your hardest sells, that's your best feedback when it's successful, right?
Yes.
It's like, you know that they're just not passing out compliments. You know, like the people who are just positive.
It's not fake. Like if they gave you something nice, they meant it.
They meant it because they are very short on words, minimal amount of words used to describe that. So I think we could go on forever talking about school culture. So, okay. So let's talk about one more part of school culture on how do you ensure that you, obviously your seasons have changed and you ended up leaving that school where you had established these different systems on building that positive school culture. So how do you ensure that positive culture continues beyond you or us as the leader? Like what does that look like?
That is such a good question, because my biggest thing that I try to work with leaders on is if you are out for a couple days because you broke a leg or somebody's sick, or when you decide to leave that campus, if the culture collapses, you weren't truly building a positive culture. You were building a person who was in charge of the culture. And the reality is, as a leader, you play a role in the culture, but you are not the culture king or queen. Mm-hmm. Like, you should be able to step away and everything continue. And the way you do that is by constantly empowering other people to take ownership in the culture as well. Because culture requires all of us. And in some of the campuses where it's like, oh my goodness, like I left and culture just fell apart. Well, then you really weren't building culture because nobody felt ownership in it. And sometimes we get in our little silos and we say things like, I'm an instructional aide. Like, they should be building me up. Like, I don't play a role in building up other people. Yes, you do. Well, I'm a teacher. Like, it's the principal's job to pour into me. Okay, but when are you pouring into others? Because every single one of us plays a role. And when we shift our mindset to realize, oh yeah, if I don't pour into that cafeteria worker and they quit showing up, our school runs differently. If I don't pour into the school secretary and she's rude to a family and they never come back, our school runs differently. Like, every single person, the maintenance, the custodians, everyone has to understand that I play a role. And if I am doing nothing to make things better, I'm part of the problem.
Right.
And that's hard. Because again, going back to the way we started this conversation earlier, we've been put in this system where gimme, 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 because I'm giving to the kids. And I really feel like that needs to stop. Like, yes, the kids matter. But just like Todd Whitaker says, if you don't feed the adults, they're going to eat the kids. And so it's like, how are we feeding each other? Like, what are we doing? And so for me, that was a mindset of, I can't always be the only one doing this. So how am I going to empower them? Whether that was, I loved giving out random awards. And so one of my expectations was every month I would give out awards to teachers for different random things. Mm-hmm. And then next month you had to bring your award back and you had to be giving it on to someone else while I also gave out new awards. When I did the positive phone calls home for kids, I shifted to move into a positive phone calls home for adults. And then I started telling them, we are going to start every meeting on this campus with somebody getting a positive phone call. And you're going to lead those. When we have Teacher Appreciation Week, I'm going to plan stuff because I love celebrating people on Teacher Appreciation or the days before a holiday. Like, I love doing that, but I'm not going to be the only one doing it. So first grade, what day do you want to take? What do you want to do? It can be something as easy as, well, Todd, can we just give everyone a jeans pass? Sure. Todd, can we cover somebody's recess? Sure. Like, whatever, but we're all going to do what we need to do to celebrate each other because all of us play a role. So in answering your question of, like, how do we make sure it doesn't fall apart is, how are you empowering others to pour into others? And a lot of that work comes with time. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of it comes into me as I get to know my people. I see their strengths, even strengths that they don't quite see yet themselves, which is my favorite thing.
Yeah.
And so I pour into them and I'm like, hey, you're amazing at this. Or, hey, you do really good at this. Do you want to kind of take and run with something here? And they might say yes. And they might say, oh, I don't really know if I can do that. Here, let me tell you all the ways I've seen you do things like this and why I think you're the perfect person. Or just all these little bitty things where it puts the ball into the courts of all of us instead of just the school administrator. Because if you're the only one doing it, when you go to that principal's meeting and something happens and you're not there, the whole school's up in arms instead of everybody stepping in going, oh, I got this. Oh, I can do this. Oh, let me go bail this person up. Oh, let me go bail this person out. Whatever I need to do kind of thing.
So that leads me to, wow, we have really touched on quite a few little strategies that someone may be listening to us on their way to work or on their way home or on that little run, taking care of themselves, hopefully, to be able to pour into themselves with a little piece of learning. Listen, I want to transition in a moment to when kids lead, because we've talked a lot about the adult, the principal and the adults and them being able to facilitate. So the principal is really like the facilitator of culture, right? I mean, we want teachers in the classroom to be the facilitator of learning. The principal is the facilitator of culture and learning on the campus. I want to come back to a second part of with you, Todd, and talk about when the kids lead, when the student voice, based on your book, right? You had a book, When Kids Lead. Is that your newest one out?
No, that one was a few years ago.
A few years ago. Okay. Well, I want to kind of touch on that. If we can do like a part two on when kids lead, because we've talked about the leader at the campus level. And I really think that we could give some principals a little bit nugget of information on the power of kids and their leadership. So let's come back for a part two. Thank you so much for this part one of the leader, the campus leader as the culture leader. What's one final nugget of information you want to leave everyone with?
I think the final thing that I always try to leave people with when we have these types of conversations is you are already doing a lot of great things. And I think sometimes people need to be reminded that you are exactly where you're meant to be. Mm-hmm. There's no one else that can do what you're about to do. And don't let those ignorant people who aren't in your shoes steal your joy and tell you that you're not doing enough or that you're not doing it right. Mm-hmm. This is the most misunderstood position in education. Yeah. And it's also the one we have to keep our mouths shut the most about. But I have made a personal mission of mine to be out there reminding school leaders that you are doing some amazing work and you have to own the gifts that you bring to the table because you are exactly the person for the job.
Wow. What a way to end, Todd. I mean, the principal is the gatekeeper of all information, right? They always get one side of the story and that they can't ever talk about, because people are sharing that with them. So thank you so much for being here and just being that breath of fresh air for, for a principal or a leader at a campus or even at a district level. You never know who's going to be listening, but the power that leaders have is, you never know the impact, right? You never know the impact.
Exactly. Thank you so much for the invite as well.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. Okay, we're going to shift real quick into, I want to do just a quick, and this maybe can just be a short 10-minute fit, just a quick little on school leadership and student leaders. And okay, do you feel like that is probably one of your best books? What would you like to highlight if we talk about student leaders? Would that be the one? Or is there...
If we're going to talk about student leadership, definitely When Kids Lead, yeah.
Okay. All right. I just feel like that kind of goes, it's a nice little tag team on to what we just talked about with principals and building that leadership capacity for school culture. And now we're going to move into the student voice and leadership. So
perfect.
All right. So here we go. Okay, guys, we are back on this Love, Sweat, and Tears podcast with Todd Nesloney. As a continuation, we're going to talk now about student voice and leadership. And we want to really get to know from Todd, who is just an expert in the field on student voice and leadership, and share some insights from one of his books from a few years ago called When Kids Lead, which is really about empowering students to continue culture. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Todd, and the work that you've done in that arena for principals and leaders that may be listening?
Yeah, so I was doing a lot of work with my buddy, Adam DeVico, and we were helping grow leaders on campuses and things like that within the district. And one of the things we kept coming back to is, who is growing the students into leaders? Like, there's so many great leadership books out there, but where are the ones that focus on how do we grow kids into that? So that's where the precipice of When Kids Lead came from, because both Adam DeVico and I were very passionate about empowering student leaders. And the biggest things we focused on was just making sure that as a leader, we understand that every student is capable of leading. I don't care if they're your biggest discipline problem on campus. I don't care if they are in your life skills program, in your special education program, in your bilingual program. Like, it doesn't matter what titles or tags they come with them. You have to believe as the campus leader that they are capable of leading if they're ever going to lead. And that also applies to extroverts and introverts, because we also sometimes feel like, you know, there's one way to lead. Like, give me a microphone, I'll lead from up here. I'll lead behind a computer. There's all kinds of ways to lead. And the person at the front of the line is not always the biggest leader in that moment. Person on stage is not always the best person to be leading that moment. And so that was a really big part of writing When Kids Lead as well, as Adam and I focusing on A, everyone's capable of leading. We just have to grow that within them. And B, empowering them in their own skill set ways. So you're going to empower an extrovert differently than you're going to empower an introvert. And that was really important to us to have in that book, because Adam, extrovert to the max, like on tables dancing, no concerns at all. Me, introvert to the max. Like, you will find me at the back of a room in a corner. Like, I can get on a stage and do what I need to do, but afterwards it's like, I don't want to have the small talk. It's so uncomfortable. Like, all that kind of stuff. Like, so we brought our own things into there too, going, here's how people empowered us to lead in different ways. And now we were able to become this. Let's do that with kids.
Wow. So what was one thing that y'all did? What would be like one piece of information if someone's listening right now? They're like, okay, so where would I start with this? Is there like a survey? Is there a piece of learning that you could kind of point someone in the direction, a leader that's listening in, to kind of get their feet wet with it?
Yeah. So first, I just started with making sure as adults, we were all on the same page on the campus. Like, this is what we believe about kids. This is how we're going to see kids. And here are some foundational skills that we're going to build across the campus. Every kid is going to learn how to shake someone's hand. Every kid's going to learn how to have eye contact when we have a conversation. Every kid's going to learn how to have a conversation with someone else. Like, that's going to be incorporated throughout. And here's how we're all going to do it. We didn't just say, hey, teach people how to shake a hand. Yeah. It's like, no, during the faculty meeting today, we're going to practice handshaking and what that looks like. Like, we treated our adults as our students first. We all aligned our expectations. And then we brought that to our kids. And once we did that, then we were able to do one of my favorite things, which is every classroom had a classroom greeter. And that was such a big thing for me, because I always felt like, as a teacher myself, and then going in and observing teachers, there's like two different types. There's like, A, when somebody comes in, they stop everything to greet them. What do you need? Oh, are you okay? And I'm like, I was just popping in. Like, I don't need anything. Yeah. Or there's educator B, who is like, train their students. I don't care if Jesus himself walks in, you will not break eye contact with me. Like, we are teaching. Right? And so I was like, is there not like a middle ground? Because like, when we ignore people, we teach really bad citizenship because nobody should be ignored when they enter a space. But when we stop all instruction to welcome people in, that's also not great teaching because mm-hmm. we've just lost the momentum and the engagement and all that. So our middle ground was every teacher, and these rotated, mm-hmm. but for like a week or two period, they selected a kid who was going to be that classroom's classroom greeter. And what that meant was anytime somebody comes to that door and knocks, walks in, whatever it is, instruction doesn't stop. Like, because instruction is number one. We gotta be teaching here. But that kid knows, oh, it's my job right now. I'm going to pop up. I'm going to go over, shake their hand, greet them, welcome them in, let them know what we're learning about, and invite them to join the process.
Wow.
Like, that was such a cool thing. And it seems kind of like, oh, wow, this was such a big deal. Oh, my gosh. Like, visitors who came in or central office were blown away when they walk down and they go into a room and, like, a second grader is greeting them with a full-on conversation.
Oh,
and I loved it being a preschool through fifth grade campus. I love going in those preschool rooms because they take like a whole year's worth of training to get this down. But in that process of the training, like, it's so much fun to have somebody get up and go, oh, hi, I'm so-and-so. What's your name? Oh, we did this and we did this and we did this. So you got to kind of narrow them down.
Todd, but so you totally remind me. Okay. So when I was principal, I was not a good principal. I didn't have everyone do this, but I'm going to tell you, I had one teacher. She's still at that campus right now. And every time I would walk, she must have read your book. Every time I would walk into her room, she kept teaching. It was a dual language classroom. And she had a different student. If I was doing walkthroughs, you know, I guess it was like every week or every other week, came up, hi, Ms. Spellman. Welcome to our classroom. Right now we are learning X, Y, and Z. I was totally blown away. And so I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I wish if I had like a rewind, go back in time, I would totally, anyone listening, this is such a powerful strategy that I saw it in practice with a teacher at my campus. And I mean, we were like 900 students, so it was a very large.
Well, but, and it's important too, because I think we forget that our job as educators isn't just the academics.
Right.
Like, we're also trying to grow great humans. And no matter what job you're going to have in the future, you have to know how to have a conversation with someone.
Amen, because we have so many families that don't interact, and I call it code switching. Do you know there are many families that they're in your face yelling, or they just have a different way of greeting? And so how important is this as a real life skill to be teaching within student leadership?
Well, and it's very risk-free because it's just you and another person. Mm-hmm. The whole class is supposed to still be learning and everything like that. It's great for introverts and extroverts because everybody needs to be made a little bit uncomfortable because that's how we learn. And it just, it's good for the overall school because A, to be able to do this, you got to know what learning is happening right then.
Right.
You've got to be practicing how to have those conversations. And all of that plays into a great student and a great human. Like, people deserve to be welcomed in when they come into a space. And so I think there's so many little nuggets that make this so great. But I loved doing this. And let me tell you, my school board loved coming over, not because of anything I was doing, but because they loved going into a room and having a kid greet them.
Oh, yeah.
But when we had a family who was coming in to consider enrolling their kid or something like that, like, utilizing the students in those interactions is such a powerful thing.
So, Todd, this is right, think of where we are in education right now. We have competition in public ed, whether you're a private ed, whether you're listening, you're a charter school, whatever, homeschooler, whatever you do. But this is truly a game-changing strategy when people are shopping schools, right? I mean, here we are talking about student voice and leadership, but how important it is for just the culture on your campus and the tone that you've set within that. Wow. Yep.
I couldn't agree more. I think this is one, and this is an easy lift. Like, that's very the reason
easy.
Why I love this.
Yeah.
It's not a huge time commitment. Mm-mm. It doesn't have to disrupt a lot of stuff. Like, once you practice it a couple of times and then get it up and running, it's just a growth process as you do it. Like, there's so many, to me, it's like, why wouldn't you do something like this? Why would you not want to be? And even though I share this and it's a very elementary example with me sharing classroom greeter or that cutesy title, the real power in this is with secondary kids.
Right.
And that's one thing that I always want people to hear too, is like, I used the classroom greeter. You can change it to something else.
Right.
But secondary kids should be doing this as well when people enter the classroom. And that's one thing that I think we forget about is, oh, that's great for elementary, but what am I secondary? Why can't they be getting up and shaking somebody's hand and saying, hey, thanks for being here. We're learning about this. You want to come sit with us? Like, that's great for any age.
Yeah. Wow. That is super powerful. We could go into like an even deeper conversation just about this one strategy. I'm like, oh my gosh, in school leadership or student leadership. And so That's really building a system where students are aware of their surroundings. They're learning a life skill. What do people talk about in the workplace? The soft skills are the ones that sink them, right? Yep. And just having that common structure of acknowledging every human being. Wow.
Exactly.
Wow. So, I mean, we kind of touched on this one, but if people want more information on when kids lead, this was just like tip of the iceberg, right?
Yep.
So if people want more information or there's one more piece that you feel like we could add on before we close out here, what would that be, Todd?
Yeah. I mean, the book's available on social media. On Amazon and things like that. You can connect with me on social media. Adam and I also created a workbook. So if you want a workbook, you can just let us know and we can send it to you for free. We don't charge for the workbook at all, but it's a great way to do the conversations with your team if you wanted to do this with a group. But it's kind of one of those things of, you know, the worst thing that you could do is not even start.
Right.
And so I think any ideas that you hear on this podcast, people you follow on social media, wherever, pick something to try and just get started. Because once you have that fire lit, it's just about feeding that fire then. And then it just gets bigger and bigger.
Right.
So
Todd, if people want to learn more about who you are, I mean, you're all over social media. I mean, I'm always amazed at your posts. I know people can sign up for your newsletter, your quotes. I actually use one of your quotes in some of the different trainings that I do because you are just, this is your calling, you know, you can tell that this is really not work for you. This is your passion. This is who you are. And so for our listeners that want to find out more that don't know about you, where could they go? I know you have Twitter, you know, X, Instagram. Yeah, you want to just kind of rattle off how people can
talk to
you?
The easiest place that I send people to is just my website. And that's just toddnesloney.com. If you don't know how to spell it, you can just Google how you think Todd Nesloney is spelled. It'll come up. Don't worry. But I send people there just because my blog's there, my videos are there, all my social media links are there. A pop-up shows up where you can sign up for my email list if you want. Like, everything is in that one spot that then you can go find your avenue that you need for different resources I have. But yeah, toddnesloney.com is the easiest go-to.
Well, and you also have Kids Deserve It, Building Authenticity, and When Kids Lead. Are there any other books out there that I haven't mentioned? I'm trying to remember.
I've got Stories from Webb, which was my follow-up to Kids Deserve It that I wrote with my staff at Webb Elementary. I've got Sparks in the Dark, all about building a love of literacy in your classrooms or on campus. And then I have In This Season, which is our modern revision of Chicken Soup for the Soul kind of book. That is meant for anybody who needs an ounce of hope, no matter what season of life they find themselves in. In This Season is that kind of book. So those are the other ones I have out.
I love that. So guys, I hope as you've just ventured into listening to this work that Todd has been knee deep in for his whole career. We hope that you've gotten at least one nugget of information that you could take and implement at your campus or within your district. So Todd, I just want to say thank you. You are such an inspiration. I love being able to follow you. I love at our summer conference, being able to step into a session in the state of Texas. If you're not familiar, he is also the director of
Culture and Strategic Leadership
at the Texas Association of Supervisors, Principal Association in the state of Texas, which is a phenomenal organization who we both have been fortunate enough to be a part of. So thank you for being here. And just most importantly, thank you for taking the time to block it out, because I know you're one busy guy. So I really do appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And if I can do anything else to help anyone, just let me know.
All right. Thanks, Todd. Well, this was phenomenal.